right now we're going to, you know, switch it over to softball a little bit. Let's go ahead and just let us know, you know, what position you play when you get onto the softball field.
Last year I was, so my freshman year, I played outfield and I was a catcher. And that was fun. I caught and played a little bit of outfield, my freshman year of high school as well. But, in high school, then my sophomore, junior and senior year, I was a starting third baseman. And from then on, I just kind of loved the hot corner. I don't know why, you know, just that danger on that corner.
That's brave.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people sign up and say, "Coach, put me at third base." I mean, you're supposed to be hitting the ball really hard in your direction.
Definitely.
Why do you like it so much?
Just that excitement. You know, I really like going against slap hitters, seeing what they're going to do. If they're going to try and hit it past me, if they're going to try and bunt it and see if their speed can outweigh my arm. It's kind of like a chess game in a sense, you know. And ultimately, your coach will call the defense, whether I stay back or I rush forward. But this year, I am playing third and competing for third. We have a lot. This is what's great about softball is it's kind of like the Seahawks. Next man up, you know, in a sense. Anybody can play a position and rock it, you know.
Right. We talk about Rawls and, you know, when he came in for Marshawn Lynch.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And, you know, we've got girls who, like Jessica Wallace, fantastic athlete. She is an amazing catcher. I caught behind her last year. And she's playing a little bit of third base. So is Kylan Osaki, who is a middle. She's playing third base. Annalise Campbell is playing third base. You know, anybody can play anywhere, and I love that. There's always a competitive feel. There's no set positions. You know, whoever's hitting the ball, whoever's fielding the ball, whoever, like I said earlier, is getting their snake and their sling going, they're going to be
playing.
We now
know what that is now.
Right, mm-hmm. Yep. That's our secret. it's cool. It's next man up. It's whoever's hitting. And I just want to go out there and I want to compete. And, you know, they're my sisters, you know. I'm blessed to have two big teams of sisters. And I love to watch them succeed as well as they love to watch me succeed.
Now, Kaylin, what's the head coach for softball? What's his name?
Lance Glasso.
Glasso?
Yes.
So his daughter plays for Rogers High School.
Yeah.
With my younger sister, Jessie, who they have a huge playoff game coming this weekend, actually, in Spokane, Washington. So Coach Glasgow's his name?
Coach Glasso.
Coach Glasso. Does he like that you play basketball as well? Is he, because, you know, it's so interesting to see, you know, when these athletes, you know, are in high school and you know, one only likes them to play volleyball,
right.
One only likes them to play basketball. These AAU teams are just so tunnel vision, and sometimes you get burnt out because you have tunnel vision.
Right.
Does he like that, you know, you play basketball as well? Because I see him at the games, and I see
yes.
your teammates there, so they're obviously supporting you, but does
yes.
he enjoy that you do that?
Yes, actually. That was one of the biggest things that I had coming into both my sports. You know, I told Coach Childress, I said, I'm a dual sport athlete. I hope you are okay with that. You know, I'm going to give my heart, you know, 110% for wherever I'm on, if I'm on the dirt or if I'm on the hardwood, you know. And Glasso, you know, he said, do what you got to do. And then when you're ready to join this family, let's do it. We're going to support you along the way.
Mm.
And we'll see you when you get on the dirt. He's very supportive.
Yeah.
He comes to almost all the games. My softball sisters, like I said, they actually came to one game and made me big signs. And
mm-hmm.
they're very supportive and they're very loving towards me. I like it a lot.
And it's so cool to see my dad, you know, who's the head football coach here for PLU, and we got a couple dual sport athletes that play baseball. Ben Welch,
right.
Court Skoda, who's not playing this year, but my dad's very, very supportive of the track guys as well, Brady Daly, you know, those kind of guys. So it's one of those things where when you're in season with another sport, you're fully focused on that.
Exactly.
You know, don't even look in the rear view mirror at the other sport. And then when it's our sport, put the other mirror, you know, the other sport in your pocket for a while and kind of transition to that.
Exactly.
So that's really cool to see.
That's all he asks for is 110% whatever I'm doing.
That's good.
All right, Kaylin. So, you know, while you've been away, the team is off to a fantastic 8-2 start.
Yes.
Right. Can you give us some insight as far as, you know, what are the strengths, maybe some of the weaknesses of this team?
Yeah. As I've been playing basketball, you know, they've been away. They're going away this weekend as well. I'm taking kind of like a physical mental break for this week, and then hopefully I'll be back and going with them soon enough. 8-2 start is fantastic. We're on a really hot start. A couple of our aces, I guess, on this team is, like I said, next man up. Whoever's got that hot bat, you know, somebody's always able to step up for our team. We do not have one person who always hits home runs or always gets on base. You know, we've got a lot of just consistency on this team, and that's what makes us so strong. We don't have weaknesses wherever people play. You know, if Kylan's at second, short, or third, she's solid no matter what, and her bat's solid. A couple that stand out to me that I love to watch, you know, I love to watch them all. I watched them online when they were down in Texas and Arizona. Mm. I watched them online. And
that's cool.
Catherine Hatlin. She's got a couple family members gone here, so shout out to them. She is a freshman, and she's a pitcher, and she's got a bat. She's just a fantastic athlete. She's in the gym. She's working out. She stands out to me a lot. She is just a stud on the diamond, definitely. Another one's Marissa Miller, one of our like our ace pitchers.
FPSL went to Puyallup.
That's right. State champion. She led her team. She's just a fantastic athlete. She's really tried to put this team on her back, you know, and she loves to win. She wants to win. She has that hunger for that victory. And, you know, pretty much if you want to win, you pitch this great game. And she's definitely done that. And just a whole bunch of pieces have put together. You know, if Coach subs somebody in, we are so deep. If Coach subs somebody in and says, you know what, I need you to lay this bunt down, and that's your job, that person will lay that down that bunt. And that's just what makes us so strong, you know. I don't see, as of right now, a lot of weaknesses. Maybe the only weakness that could be are some injuries, but right. We don't have many of those. Right now, we're really cruising. We're really rolling. We're really playing as a team and cohesive. And kind of our team motto is hashtag do what we do. You know, just.
That's, it's trending.
I don't mean to interrupt, but that's Coach Dickerson of the men's team. That's his favorite line. I get quotes from him for the recaps for GoLutes.com. Do what we do and we'll be all right.
Exactly. Mm. That's exactly how Coach Glasso thinks as well.
And you got to have confidence saying that. That's not, I mean, that's a big phrase to say. So it's cool that both these coaches, you know, look at sports that way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look at their records already, you know. Men's basketball is just rolling. It's so fun to watch them play.
We're going to get to that a little bit later in the show. Yep.
Awesome. And same with softball. 8-2 start. We're going to go down and hopefully put a whip on Pacific. And you know what? Do what we do.
Kaylin, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us and taking time out of your Friday to come into studio and to talk sports with Christian and I. We really appreciate having you on.
Of course. I really appreciated it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Kaylin. All right, when Mass Radio Sports Talk returns, we're going to take a call from the Pacific Lutheran men's basketball team and get some insight on their huge win over Whitman College that will send them to the Northwest Conference Championships for the first time since 1998. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk. We are going to open up the coverage to a national scale. If you want to pitch ideas of the show, be sure to call in at 253-535-7332. Again, the number is 253-535-7332. And folks, just like in sports, we're actually going to audible to the men's basketball program here at Pacific Lutheran University. You know, Drew, you're normally here in studio with us last week, but talk about a huge win last night against Whitman for an amazing playoff victory for the Pacific Lutheran University Lutes. You guys won 82-68. Brandon Lester with 29 points. Dylan Foreman with 13 points. You and Bryce Miller had 9 points. You guys play this Saturday at 7 o'clock. Drew, talk to us about that ball game.
It was a great ball game. It was a great team win. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here with Brandon Lester, Dylan Foreman, and Tyson Burke. So you guys can ask questions around. Just talk to us. It was an absolute fun. Game was so much fun. From a tip to final buzzer, it was a nail biter the entire way. Had to keep him at bay. Brandon scored a hell of a lot. Dylan did his thing on defense, put the ball in the hoop. Tyson was huge off the bench. You know, it was a great team win, all 16.
Yo, guys, make sure that you are talking into the microphone there on your end. I know you guys are on speaker, but we want to make sure that everyone here listening live and when the podcast gets put up, they're hearing you. Brandon, I want to ask you a question, man. You were on fire last night. You were like 10 of 15, you know, super efficient. You scored 29 points. You know, were you in that zone or was, you know, what was working, man?
We had a lot of different sets working. In the beginning of the game, we kind of went to a lot of different pick and roll stuff to get some mismatches on their defense, and that worked really well. And, you know, like I said, we're a very unselfish team. We like to move the ball around a lot. And so we got a lot of open looks that way. So,
It's fantastic, man. Fantastic.
You know, Brandon, I got to ask you a question as well. You know, I'm one of your biggest fans. Like I've said on this broadcast before, I am able to do the broadcast for the men's and women's basketball teams here. Have been able to do it for the past couple of years. Brandon, you're one of the best scorers I've seen in the last couple of years. I kind of compare you to James Conti a little bit when it comes to Northwest Conference play. How often, you know, do you work on your shot? You know, obviously comparing you to Steph Curry is a one heck of a phrase, but I mean, it just seems like your stroke is just so natural. It comes so easy to you. How many shots do you get up a day?
Quite a bit. A lot. I try and get to the gym over the summer every single day, at least once a day. Mm-hmm. And during the season, it's a bit more tough to get in there. But I try and go every day, grab a couple teammates, get in. I have a routine that I go through. Some of the guys on the team know it. It's usually a few hundred shots a day. Just to kind of keep things fresh and stuff like that. So,
it's definitely working, my man. It's definitely working. You've been putting up big point totals all year long.
Thank you.
I'm going to take it from one guard to another, one that comes off the bench, your little freshman buddy over there, Tyson Beer. You know, I don't know. You know, Tyson, is 10 points the most you've ever scored in a game, or have you scored higher? Let me know, man.
Yeah, at POU, it's for sure the most I've ever scored in a game.
Were you saving it for a big playoff game, or you got the ice water in the veins? Like, tell me what's going on, dude.
No, it actually just worked out that way. I ended up hitting shots. Coach called a bunch of pick and roll plays to get me a mismatch with the big guy, and shots were falling. Shots were falling for pretty much everybody last night. It was a great atmosphere to be in, being able to like silence an away crowd. So it was a really fun game, and everything essentially just worked out.
Now, Tyson, you went to Sumner High School, where my older sister Jordan Moog is the head basketball coach for the women's team over there. Is also a history and leadership teacher. And when I saw that you signed with PLU, you know, my sister Jordan was very, very excited. She knew that you would bring, you know, a lot of athleticism to this basketball team. As a freshman, you know, I can't imagine how nervous you were in the beginning of the season. And it kind of seems like you've just, you know, someone's instilled confidence in you as the season's gone on. Do you kind of attest that to Coach Dickerson, just, you know, trusting you? Because the more minutes you play, obviously you have to understand that he believes in you. Does that give you more confidence?
Yeah, I think it comes from Dickerson and just the entire coaching staff, my teammates as well, just being more comfortable as the season goes along and just having everybody believe in you and just pretty much tell you that there's a reason why you're here and there's a reason why you're playing. So, yeah, just everybody around me just instilling confidence, my family, the team, everybody. So it's just worked out really well.
That is awesome, my man. That is awesome. All right, if you don't mind, could you pass the phone over to your buddy Dylan Foreman? Dylan wears number 15 on the basketball court. Hey, Dylan, what's going on, man?
What's up, Christian? How are you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. You know, can you tell me how tough it is to guard some of the conference's, you know, best players, and then how you're so effective at it? Because they don't have big nights when they play against you.
Well, like taking last night, for example, when you play someone for the third time in less than a month, you kind of just get to pick up on what they like to do. And I don't know, it's kind of just more of a mental thing. You really want to take it to heart that you don't want to let them score on you or get going in a game, because you know a big player makes big plays, they're going to help their team win in big ways. So I don't know, I just kind of take it personally each game when a coach puts me on Christian Julian, Whitworth, or McDonald, or whoever from anywhere in the conference. You just kind of got to take it personal.
You know, Dylan, I missed you in class on Wednesday, bud.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
You know, Dylan, my question for you, you know, I like to compare athletes and you know, talk a little bit about Lester and Curry. But, you know, when I watch you play, Dylan, you're very, very deceptive. You know, when you shoot a 3-point shot, sometimes it's like, you know, the form, it's not necessarily the prettiest form, but it goes in, and you're extremely consistent when it comes to scoring the ball. I kind of like to compare you to Trevor Ariza, you know, a guy who gets it done on the defensive side of the ball, as well as can hit the 3-point shot. You know, is that a fair comparison?
I would say, yeah, like prime in his prime.
of course in his prime.
Like Lakers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, Ariza used to be able to shoot pretty well, and he plays great defense. I think it's fair.
Awesome.
That's
it's gotten worse.
That's fantastic. All right. I guess you can give the phone back to Drew. Drew,
Yes, bud. What's going on?
You blew up for like 9 points last night, and I went ahead and I did a little research.
Oh, God.
All right.
This would be fantastic.
So, like, just because I was curious, you know, because, you know, the joke is you and Arvid, you know, you kind of you giggle about your stat line because it's so easy to predict. You're going to take your charge. You're going to get your 2 points. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa, come on. Where's the positivity?
Let's just Drew knows. Ask Drew. Drew, is that your role?
Yes, that's my role.
And Drew has no problem with that.
He accepts it. I respect that.
So I did some research. And, like, through the first, like, 21 games or 22 games, you had scored, like, 17 points all year long. Right?
Yep.
But since last Friday when we started this radio show, in just three games, you have scored 9 points. Now, yeah. I'm not going to take all of the credit, but I expect you to give me some.
No, yeah, hey, here's the deal. I mean, with Kyle Sautel going down, I had to step into a different role, and Brandon and Dylan were getting double-teamed and trapped off screens all night, and they have to leave somebody, so they're going to leave the kid who scored 17 points in 21 games.
That's what's up.
They left me open on the backside, and I just got to shoot the ball, and, you know, if you let me get my feet set and get the ball up there, I'm hopefully going to put him in. So it was kind of fun to score a little bit.
No, it was fun to watch you score, man. I was jumping up and down in my dorm room. I was excited.
Yeah, that game was awesome. I mean, and we woke the beast in the second half. They went on a little run. That place erupted. And then Tyson came off a couple screens and made some plays. And Dylan had a nice couple plays. Brand hit a three or two. And all of a sudden we started to roll on him. We silenced that place. And from then on, it was a 14-plus point lead. And we closed that thing out on a really, really good Whitman team.
Exactly, man.
Drew, I got a question for you, and anybody honestly can answer this. What do you guys do on these road trips that last 4 to 5 hours? Do you guys sleep? Do you guys listen to music? Do you watch film? What do you guys do?
So, basically, well, as soon as we hop on the bus, we pick a movie from the Bryce Miller movie collection. so we start there.
Is it his five highlight film?
No, it's what we watched today. We watched Mad Max today. We watched some comedies. We watch Dinner for Schmucks. You know, we like to mix it up a little bit. So we get to do things like that. Every team meal is at Applebee's. Every single one. That's where we are right now. We're currently at Applebee's.
Oh, my gosh.
Waiting for our food, talking to you guys. And then we're going to head out to the hotel, study, because, you know, you got to do that whole student-athlete part of the student-athlete.
Yeah.
And then we have practice tonight, and then go home, get a good night's sleep, and then start preparing for the game tomorrow. Got shooting around in the morning, then back to Applebee's for more food, and then
awesome.
back at it. It's going to be a great time.
So are you guys going to stay in – are you guys going to come home to Parkland? Or are you guys going to stay in that area?
We've driven across the mountain to Spokane. So
oh, wow.
Spokane currently. That's
awesome.
The Applebee's in Spokane right now. We got a full day. We got practice tonight at 8. Before that, we're just going to probably take a nap, do some homework, and then get ready to play tomorrow.
So I'll have to wait to get you guys' autographs in person once you guys beat Whitworth.
Stop. But, yeah, so, hey, the boys have just ran to get their food. I'm hungry. I got to go get my food. Thank you guys for calling Audible, letting us on. We're pretty excited. Hopefully we can go beat the number 3 team in the country and bring home a ship.
Yo, that would be fantastic. Thank you guys so
Thanks,
much
Drew.
For,
yeah.
you know,
so,
taking some time
so
out.
For having us on.
Get some food inside of you guys. Get ready for Whitworth. Beat Whitworth, please.
Yeah, we will try our best. Thanks, Christian.
Be fantastic. All right, dude. See you when you guys get back. We'll be cheering you on.
Yeah.
All right, that was the POU men's basketball team. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to take the coverage national. Talk a little bit about what's going on in San Francisco. They've had just some troublesome off seasons the last couple of years.
They really have.
Things just get weirder down there. And then we're also going to tell you about the Seattle Times, something that they dropped this week. Give you something to think about over the break. What do the New York Yankees and Russell Wilson have in common? Find out next.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk. We're going to open up the coverage to a national scale. If you want to pitch ideas of the show, be sure to call in at 253-535-7332. Again, that number is 253-535-7332. The rival of the city's beloved Seattle Seahawks has fallen on some rough times lately. The San Francisco 49ers have been in the news a lot recently, and not necessarily for the good news. They hired Chip Kelly earlier in the year, and earlier this week they decided to keep quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Yet Kaepernick's agents have since talked a little bit about a trade. And Christian, you know, we all do this thing. we fall in love too quickly.
Right.
We've been in relationships where, you know, we think that we're in love, and we say the L word a little bit too early. We buy them gifts, sometimes buy them maybe a, you know, a promise ring when it's only been 6 months, or, you know, you're posting all these things on Instagram. You fall in love too quickly. I am here to humbly say I fell in love with Kaepernick way too early.
Oh, is that so? Are you a fan?
You know,
you were a fan
when Colin
maybe?
Kaepernick played at Nevada, huge fan.
Right.
You know, they weren't on TV too much. Sometimes they were on ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU. You know, obviously they weren't the Alabamas of the world. They, you know, the Ohio States. But this guy was a transcendent quarterback, kind of before Cam Newton, a guy that could run and also has a cannon for an arm. And, you know, when Alex Smith went down, Kaepernick came in and literally, no pun intended, took the offense with stride and changed that offense with Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, I began to just say, oh my gosh, Colin Kaepernick is just giving teams fits. He gave the Seahawks fits. But since then, Christian, you know, you look at how they are doing now, you know, one thing that I think separates Kaepernick and Russell Wilson, look at their Instagram. You know, look at how mature Russell Wilson is. Now, you can obviously talk about Russell Wilson and Sierra and is that the right relationship for Russell, but look at Russell's pictures of, you know, Seattle Children's Hospital. And then you look at Kaepernick, and then you see Kaepernick, you know, posting selfies with his shirt off, you know, showing how many shoes he has, showing his salary, things where it's just like, really? You know, you see Kaepernick in the press conference. He wears a backwards hat, where Russell Wilson comes to the press conference with a full suit and tie. There's just a difference between the two. But what Kaepernick, in my opinion, he listened to too much sports radio. Everyone's saying that he's got to throw from the pocket. And Kaepernick can't throw from the pocket. Kaepernick is so creative where he can throw on the fly. And Russell is creative also as well on the fly. But Russell can throw in the pocket, and Kaepernick can't. And you saw this year, Kaepernick's numbers just went down the tube.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, part of me wants to make an argument. They had, if you follow the 49ers, if you, you know, catch information from them, they had one of the weirdest off seasons in any sport.
Oh.
Probably in history.
Yeah,
I mean, they
had retirements.
So many players retired. They just didn't want to be a 49er anymore,
yeah.
Which is just weird. There's no other word to describe that. So, you know, you can kind of maybe understand that there'd be a dip in numbers if he lost two offensive linemen and a receiver. And you know what I'm saying? Like, if people he's used, players he's used to throwing to are gone,
right?
There's an adjustment period.
Exactly.
You know, you say he listened to too much sports radio. He had to, you know, throw from the pocket. Was there a pocket to throw from? Was he on the ground often? I mean,
yeah,
you
kind of
got to go back and look at, you know, what his circumstances were and maybe kind of understand why there was a drop in numbers.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, and we do this in life, you know, we want to go back and, oh, I wish I wouldn't have made that decision. It'd be interesting to talk to the 49ers front office to see if, you know, looking back, obviously now they know what they know now. Would they have kept Alex Smith? Was it wrong to trade him? And Alex Smith, he's a B quarterback. I mean, he's a decent quarterback. He had a decent year for the Kansas City Chiefs, and obviously they had a decent playoff run. But, you know, Kaepernick, I mean, I think he's rattled mentally. And it's interesting. I don't understand why he doesn't want to be a 49er. Chip Kelly's coming in, a guy that runs the option offense, you know, a fast-paced offense where you can kind of do the zone read. In my opinion, Christian, don't you think Kaepernick would want to stay? That could revamp his career.
You know, yeah, it's really interesting. You know, a lot of the rumors, I think last semester with Steve McGrady, we talked about, you know, the possibility of Chip Kelly trying to force his way into Tennessee to be with Marcus Mariota. He's got a quarterback that's kind of like Mariota. They're kind of the same. They could both throw. They can both run. It would be really, truly interesting to sit there and watch what would develop between Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly.
Right.
That being said, though, are they going to butt heads with certain philosophies?
Right. I mean, those are two big egos. I mean, obviously, Chip Kelly, you know, kind of ran Philadelphia the wrong way. And Chip Kelly, you know, and I think great coaches adjust. You know, I think Chip Kelly is very, very, you know, tunnel vision. He's one-minded because you look at and a lot of the defensive players for the Philadelphia Eagles, Christian, were complaining because they had to be on the field way more than they needed to because
that's
of
true.
The offense that they ran. So when you don't really have the support of your defensive guys, and the NFL, you got to have all 53 guys on one page. As hard as that is, you got to have them all on one page. With the Eagles, it was different scripts, different pages, and that's why, you know, and in my opinion, Chip Kelly's a decent coach. He went 11-4 his first 2 years.
No, the thing that blows my mind is, like, the news broke that he was fired from Philadelphia. Well, they showed his overall record. It was something like 26-21.
Right. That's not bad in the NFL. Right.
He won his whole time he was there.
They beat the Patriots this year.
That's what the record shows. He won while he was there.
Right.
But still, you know, like you said, with the ego game in the NFL, he rubbed enough people the wrong way to where they were like, fine, we don't want to work with you. Go
and
find
especially,
a new job.
Especially the fan base in Philadelphia. I mean, you watch that movie Invincible with Mark Wahlberg. The fans are just, I mean, they are so invested and they know everything that goes on behind the scenes. And I think, you know, but I really, you know, I kind of want to see Kaepernick, you know, have a, you know, a revamp to his career. And I think Chip Kelly could do that. If Kaepernick goes to the Jets, you know, you saw him say that a couple weeks ago, and Brandon Marshall, the Jets star wide receiver, says, no, thank you. We have a quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick who we like. We don't want Kaepernick to come here, you know, so I don't know what's going to happen to Kaepernick, to be honest with you.
It'll be a fun story to follow, that's for sure. You know, trades are exciting in sports, whether it be basketball, football, baseball, hockey.
Right.
You kind of get excited when you see new players come in, and, you know, if he's asking for a trade, you start to think where he fits in, and you'd start to think about who wants him. And after the poor season he had last season, I don't think his value is extremely high, because it's going to be a prove-it year for him. He needs to prove that he is actually as good as he was when he first started.
Right.
So it'll be interesting and fun to follow to see what happens with Colin Kaepernick down there in San Francisco.
Because I kind of also hope that, you know, RG3, who's in the same boat as Kaepernick, I hope RG3 also gets a second down, if you will, to his career.
Right.
You know, and they talked a little bit about RG3 possibly going to San Fran. So it'll be interesting to see if one of those two quarterbacks, you know, ends up with the 49ers.
It will be very fun to watch. You know, one of the quarterbacks you mentioned in our discussion about Colin Kaepernick was Russell Wilson. You know, we're going to end this week's show the same way we ended last week. We're going to talk about, you know, a story that broke in the Seattle Times earlier this week. And when I saw it on my Twitter feed, I kind of laughed because, you know, this was something that we had talked about. According to the Seattle Times, the New York Yankees are advising their players to handle the media like Russell Wilson, as opposed to Cam Newton. So that kind of puts to bed the argument you and Drew had last weekend.
Exactly.
About, you know, how are quarterbacks in the NFL supposed to behave? And, you know, if other organizations are advising that you act like this person, that person has set a good example, please act like this person.
Which, bless Drew's heart, I think that would mean advantage Kellen in that situation.
Yeah.
And you talk about, this is the Yankees we're talking about.
I know.
The New York Yankees. This isn't, no offense, this isn't the Cincinnati Reds. This is the New York Yankees.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing, like I said last week, that separates Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, and that the New York Yankees organization wants, is one word starts with a C: consistency.
All right.
Don't be even keel. As hard as that is, as high as you want to be when you win, as low as you want to be when you lose, is consistency. And I think that's exactly what they want for their players when it comes to the media. Just be consistent. Because to be honest with you, Christian, I think as media people as we are, it makes it boring. When guys are just consistent, you're going to get consistent answers. It makes it boring. And then when Cam comes in after a loss, you almost have, you know, a routine. You almost have a set schedule of questions to ask Cam to get under his skin. You know, you have a routine.
Right. And, you know, I flip-flop on this issue kind of more than I want to admit. You know, on some hands, you know, some days I see, you know, yeah, organizations really would like their players to, you know, stand up in front of the media and, you know, give the, you know, there's probably three things every athlete says in a post-game interview. Blessed to have the opportunity. Our coaches are great. Our teammates play great.
Go Hawks.
Right.
Boom.
And all that may be true, but how many times can we hear it before we're like, okay, and?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, really, it's boring.
Exactly.
It's part of me wants so desperately for there to be some authenticity in athletes.
Right, right.
Like, yeah, Cam Newton lost. Cam Newton was dancing. You know, he was really happy when he won. And he's really sad when he lost. Like,
right.
He looks like a legitimate person. You know, most fans, you see the videos on Facebook all the time of how fans react when their teams lose.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's nothing, right? Because that's just a fan. Who cares?
They're throwing TVs in the ground.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. But, you know, a quarterback, he's also a human, just like that fan is. He can't act that way.
And we talked about last week, we like our quarterbacks to be quarterbackial.
Sure.
We like our presidents to be presidential. And that's why these quarterbacks are held to a higher standard. You know, like we said all the time, if Terrell Owens, you know, did this stuff, it wouldn't be a big deal. But Cam Newton, the face of this franchise, and like we said, I think, again, something that I'm a little bit frustrated with, not many sports radio guys are saying how he shook Peyton Manning's hand. That was so respectable. You can't just give Cam, negative, 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 and not really, you know, focus on the positives, because there is some positives that come with Cam. But at the same time, Cam, if you're going to be one way when you win, you also have to understand you got to be one way when you got to be the same way when you lose. You got to give guys credit when a team just comes out flat out, kicks your butt. You got to give the other team credit.
Yeah, it's one of like I said, it's one of those things in sports. You know, we want to see, you know, our athletes. We want our organizations to be represented well, but at the same time, we want a little authenticity. We want them to be human as much as we want them, you know, to be leaders and quarterbacks and whatnot. You know what I mean?
And I hope Cam has a great offseason. I hope he comes back with a vengeance. I hope he comes back wanting to go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl. I really do. And I want what's best for Cam. I don't, you know, want Cam to fail. I don't want Cam to get hurt. I just think when you put all this, you know, attention on yourself, and when Luke Kuechly loses the biggest game of his life as well, who's, in my opinion, up in that scale with Cam, and Luke Kuechly is answering those questions with the media very, very professionally after a hard loss, yet your quarterback should be doing the same thing. And when your quarterback's doing the complete 180 opposite, that raises some questions. So it'll also be interesting to see if there's some drama between, you know, that locker room during this offseason. But you also have to look at Christian. They get Calvin Benjamin back. In my opinion, he's one of the top 10 receivers in the league.
Yeah.
He's obviously coming off an ACL. I know what that's all about, coming off, you know, three knee surgeries. It's hard to come back from, but they might even be better than they were last year.
It'll be extremely interesting to watch, you know, what goes on throughout the offseason from all of the NFL and all that stuff. So, man, it's been a fun show.
It has. I mean, like I told Eddie, you know, during the break, last week we went on the two-hour show. We got it. Now we might need three, but, you know, obviously we'll take what we can get. And obviously it was so fun to have Drew on as well, our other partner in crime.
Having Drew come in on the phone, which was great. Having
at Applebee's of all places.
Yeah, Applebee's in Spokane. We're making it work from all across this state.
Yes, yes, yes.
Kaylin Voss in studio today. She was fantastic. Talked a lot about Steph Curry. Talked a little NFL football. Next week we'll figure out what we have in store for you guys and bring it on right back. This has been Mass Radio Sports Talk. For my buddy Kellen Westring, my name is Christian Bond. We're out of here. See ya.